I have a question.
Yeah, what's your name?
My name's Dave.
Okay, Dave, what's your question?
How confident are you heading into the qualifying match as you've never beaten Von Wagner before?
Who the have you ever beat Dave? You think that was a five-star question? How many towns have you ever made? Have you even been in a ring? Every time I punch Von Wagner, I'm going to think of your stupid, smug face. Now that is a teachable moment!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's past your down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Randy Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
It is a Tuesday evening, Tuesday, September 27th, as I look at the computer to make sure I know what day it is, because I just don't sometimes. My name is Greg DeMarco. September 27th, 2022, by the way, just for the sake of history, because you never know when people might discover these things. My name is Greg DeMarco at Chairshot Greg. His name is Patrick O'Dowd. He is the wrestling realist at Wrestling Realist. That's WRESTLNG. REALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist, and there is one in Patrick, and there is one in friend for the best friend and the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd at Chairshot Media. There is one in Chairshot as well. This is the Greg DeMarco show. There's no I in the Greg DeMarco show anywhere, anywhere at all. None.
No, it's a team effort. So
there is an I in iTunes. There's an I in Spotify. There's not an I in Google Play, but there is an I in iHeartMedia. Those are platforms where you can listen to this show, along with many other platforms wherever you listen to podcasts that may or may not have an I in them. But you should listen anyway, regardless of the spelling, because the spelling doesn't matter. All of it rolls up under one umbrella. That's
TheChairShot.com. TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
There's also no I in Adam, in Cole, in Bay, or in Bay. None. No I whatsoever. There's also
there
no
is a
I.
Me, though.
There's no I in Dave Meltzer. There's no I in Brian Alvarez.
No.
But guess what we're talking about today? Goddamn, Patrick O'Dowd. There was like multiple different topics to talk about, and then start getting stuff, and I realized,
and then I started tweeting at you.
It was time to do this. There is an I in Alive, but this week, Patrick O'Dowd, no one gets out alive. It's one of those shows, and I can't wait. I'm so excited because I just can't. It's so stupid. Wrestling news with an S, news with a Z. It's stupid, but sometimes it's more stupid than others. And I feel like we're hitting one of those times.
Yeah, I would say this is a particularly special kind of span of about, let's see, this, 2 days, actually. I thought this went longer. I thought it was like a weekend thing. But the first thing I shared with you came from yesterday. And then today, or actually not even today, it was the, or no, no, it was today. Because today is Tuesday when we're recording. So ratings came out today.
Ratings came out today.
I thought you at the very least would be proud of me that I remembered to screenshot a Dave Meltzer tweet instead of sharing it with you in Twitter.
Because there's no I, there's no I in blocked, but I am blocked. So
I gotta ask an important question though. Are you blocked by Teddy Long?
No, Leia. No, I survived.
Congratulations.
The Teddy Long block of 2022. Were you blocked by Theodore R. Long?
I don't even follow Theodore R. Long.
But that doesn't mean you're not blocked by him.
Oh, I don't know. I can look. I actually didn't check. One moment, please.
One moment, please.
Yes, please hold. Let's see. I can't even type Teddy. Teddy.
It's like Teddy Playa Playa or something like that.
Yeah, no, fine. Teddy Long, Teddy Playa Long. His tweets are protected. So
you're not blocked.
I'm not blocked, but I haven't been approved because I've never, like, I haven't requested to follow or request access to Teddy's tweets. So I could try to see if I could try to make the list, but I'm not blocked by Teddy Long.
I just clicked follow. So I've requested a Teddy Long follow. There so you do the same. We'll report back at the end of the show to see if anybody approved Patrick O'Dowd or myself. And then we can congratulate ourselves. We can say, Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd.
You just made the list.
We'll find that
Teddy
out.
Teddy Long, by the way, he's at 4,699 tweets. I don't want him to tweet again.
You don't want him to get to 4,700?
No, I want him to just stay on 4,699.
Is that a magical number?
No, it's not. It's just I don't want the even number. This is all about me, Greg. This is all about
what
I want.
What if he just tweets twice?
My aesthetic. That just fucks it. I mean, that fucks it all up. It's not even about the double zero. It's the on the cusp of the zero that is what.
So he'd have to tweet 100 more times,
right?
To get back to a 99.
And I would actually be happier if he was at 49.99, and just didn't do that 5,000 tweet. So Teddy, when you follow me, I am going to tweet at you until you block me, and just demand that you get to 49.99 and then stop there, Leia.
That's a good one to stop at too. Right below 5,000.
Yeah. I also hear I haven't looked to see myself, and I know we don't pimp other people's merch, but apparently he's already made a shirt out of it.
He has. Yes, he has.
On ProWrestlingTees.com.
There's a blocked by Teddy Long shirt that I think is somewhat SmackDown incorporated.
Yeah, I do believe so. You can't find it on ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot though.
No, you can't. You can find various other pieces of merch.
Yes.
At ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Pretty much anything you could ever want or need. Well, maybe some things that you could want that aren't there, like MJF's Devil Worshipper shirt, which is great for church functions and family cookouts. But
absolutely,
you can get a Chairshot logo shirt. You can get the Bandwagon Nerd shirt, the Safe Tag Team Wrestling shirt. Everybody Hates Greg. You can get slogans. You can get it all over at ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Pick one up, enjoy it. You'll have a gay old time. And that's okay to have a gay old time, by the way. That's nothing wrong with that. And
Flintstones had a gay old time.
And that was a very long time ago. And yet here we are in 2022, still with a problem with people trying to have a gay old time. I don't understand.
I know, right?
But that's not today's topic. Although if I wanted it to be, Patrick O'Dowd could talk for hours about it. Because he loves having a gay old time, as do I. And you know what? We've had gay old
times.
We're going to have a gay old time. We've had gay old times together before. We slept in the same bed, people. And I don't mind telling
you. True, we have.
It's the greatest weekend in the history of our sport in more ways than one. I just say it so people can read into it however they want because they don't have a gay old time. They're afraid of a gay old time. And, well, you know what? They're just going to have to get over it.
I feel like that's
Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog. And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight.
So do you want me to start with Alvarez, or do you want to start with the ratings thing? What do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with Alvarez, just because there's been all this talk about the myth that is contract tampering.
I'll play it.
Like that big lie. Oh, you're going to play it.
Okay. I'll play it, and then, I mean, they publish it themselves. So
sure.
What are they going to do? I don't care. Yeah, let's go ahead and give it a listen.
Here's the deal, everybody. If you are a wrestler and you want to go to AEW or WWE.
I'm such a horrible person. I'm sitting here. If you are a wrestler and you want to go, I'm done. Here we go.
And you agree to perform there for 3 years. And then a year in, you decide you don't want to be there anymore. In my opinion, well, you're going to be there for 2 more years. You signed that deal. Now, I don't want to hear, well, you know, the guy I like is back in charge of WWE, so I want to go back. I've changed my... You signed a 3-year deal. That's it. Now, the first thing everybody says is, well, you know, in WWE, when you sign a 3-year deal, they expect you to stay there 3 years, but they can cut you in 90 days. That's horrible. That's not fair. Well, listen, if you want to argue that that's not a nice thing to do, if you want to argue that if you were Triple H, Nick Khan, whoever, you wouldn't do that, you can argue that. But you cannot argue it's not fair, because you get a piece of paper, you get a contract, you hand it to your lawyer reads it and explains everything to you. You know going in that that's the way this contract is structured. Of course it's a one-sided contract. Have you ever signed a contract for anything? A contract is always going to be one-sided to the person that's given you the contract. If you don't like it, you don't sign it. But once you sign it, you've committed to it. That's my thought on these contracts. And, oh, I want out now. Oh, you know, Hunter's back.
So making fun of his nasally annoying Wes.
Real quick. Credit Wrestling Observer Online.
Yes.
Now we've covered our bases. We have not copyright stolen anything. Now you may go.
I mean, I guess so. Like,
No. Do the right thing, Greg. Be the better man. Be the better man, DeMarco. You are...
Acknowledge me.
That's right. I'm acknowledging you. We are acknowledging Wrestling Observer Online.
Fuck
Wrestling
you,
Observer Live. Sorry. No, don't hate him. Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live.
And I feel bad because I, you know, as soon as I heard his voice, it just, I didn't make fun of it the first 14 times I listened to it in preparation for the show. And then immediately when I heard it, I was like, if you want to sign a contract, here's what you need to do. You need to understand, it's 3 years. So you're right in what you said and what you said here. Factually, he is not wrong.
Exactly.
Factually, this is 100% correct. I've argued this. I've argued this in favor of AEW in a tweet tonight. And people, it's so funny. Some people probably think I'm like one of the AEW stands. Other people think I'm an E-drone. Really, I'm just one of the few people with any goddamn sense around here. But it's, yeah, you sign a contract and I would love to be able to go back in the 38. I'm just going by the hairline. I don't know how old Brian Alvarez is. I have no idea. I don't care. But I'd love to go back in his history and find out if he ever, at any point in his life, got out of a contract. Because I'm sure we all have.
Right. I don't even care if he's ever gotten out of a contract himself. It's particularly galling to me, or not even galling. Like, I'm more embarrassed about this for this line of thinking and reporting because of how hard folks have advocated, or at least painted the picture that they're advocating for the WWE to quote unquote do the right thing and let somebody out of their contract when they went out. When these news reports have popped up time and time again, when it was on the other foot, and it was a dude from the WWE wanting out. Let's I don't know, Miro. When Miro wanted out.
Go with the most famous one. Go with Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, sure, Mustafa Ali. When he wanted out, it was all this, like, free Ali stuff. The WWE should do the right thing and let him go. They don't want to be there. They're miserable, blah, and on and on and on and on. And suddenly here we are. And we've got some guys in the AEW locker room, which, and I forgot to share this one, which according to, I think it was Meltzer, really the only the people who have spouses in the WWE that are wanting out, or partners that are in the WWE that are wanting out. Like that's a new invented thing today.
Invented thing today. There is an I in invented.
Right. But now suddenly you signed a contract and you're in it for 3 years and you should just suck it up and deal and you should stop whining about the contract being unfair. Like that's the tack you're turning your reporting on this into a support of this company. Like at this point, if you argue that Brian Alvarez is somebody that's spouting news or is somebody that is spouting fair and objective opinions, you are not paying attention to what these guys are doing. Because this is laughable that suddenly we are in support of the company and its contracts and its structures. And hey, you signed a contract and you're stuck, as if you haven't been on the other shoe tearing down the WWE, the big bad WWE, for holding people to a contract.
Now,
that's just stupid.
On November 16th, 2019, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter reported that Oney Lorcan has requested his WWE release. At 11:36 p.m., I don't know the time zone, on November 16th, 2019, Brian Alvarez quote tweeted that bit of news with, in all capital letters, "Everything is fine." Not "you signed the contract," not you should have known what you signed, whatever. He used that bit of news to push his anti-WWE narrative, which I try to be fair to these guys. I do. They just make it real hard. But when you're actually being fair, they make it real hard to be positive because they continue to do stupid things as well on their own. So you're right in what you have said, in that he doesn't have the same take when it's in the other direction. And that to me is that's where it becomes this. It's not about accuracy. It's not about a contract. It's not about any of that stuff. It is about their shitty narrative. It really truly right. is.
And we refuse, and the refusal to acknowledge that there have been times when the WWE has let somebody out of their contract.
Oh yeah.
But we won't talk about that. We won't talk about that because they didn't concede right away. Like the second somebody asked for their release, they didn't concede. Whatever. You know,
but it also was followed up on by Dave Meltzer saying that Tony Khan has made it very clear he's not letting anybody out of their contracts.
Right.
So
who's the bad guy?
And this has caused people on Twitter to point out, to somewhat be negative towards AEW, to even talk about the fact that they're not comfortable with this. And this is where I think what you and I do, you, Greg, and Miranda, when she's here or on the hashtag Miranda show, what we do better than anybody is understand situations like these purely from the what is going on inside the head of a certain human being. Even though we're not in those heads, okay? We're not in those heads. I don't want to be in the head of nearly everybody on wrestling Twitter. Honestly, I think we don't want to be in anybody's head. We'd probably be blown away and scared and run away and hide in a hole and never come out. But these people online who were saying that they don't think it's right that Tony Khan is holding these people to contracts, that WWE holds these contracts, whatever, are because they're afraid that someday in their life they could be held to a contract that they want to get out of. They're putting themselves in the shoes of a person who doesn't want to be somewhere, because most of us have had a situation in our lives where we don't want to be somewhere. And so they're scared at the thought of maybe this could happen to me. And so I want to have all my freedoms, regardless of what papers I sign that are legally binding. And so I'm going to lean in support of that, which is fine. That's where that's coming from. But as I replied to somebody earlier who said they weren't comfortable with this, what's the point of signing the contract then?
Right.
Like, what is it? Because they don't like it when WWE releases somebody from their contract. That at that point, they want the contract to be honored. Basically, they want a wrestler wrestling for WWE to be employed at the will of the wrestler. But then they want a wrestler who's being employed by All Elite Wrestling to be employed at the will of the employer. And it just doesn't work that way.
No, it really doesn't. And it also really reinforces something we've talked about with folks outside of this media narrative too, in regards to how they think everyone should view working at AEW. Like, they can't wrap their heads around that people might be unhappy there. Like, that is a thing. Like, this, like, some of these, like, Twitter folks' responses that are there. Like, you just aren't doing it right at AEW and don't understand. Like, they can't seem to see that sometimes you take a job that's not a good job for you. And then, you know, when you realize, hey, this isn't a good job for me and maybe I want out, that's okay. Now, they might not be able to get out because, like you said, hey, you're in a contract. And Tony Khan has made it clear he's not going to let you out. But people take the wrong job all the time. Like, all the time. Everybody here is taking it. You know, everybody listening is taking a job that wasn't good for them,
mm-hmm.
And wasn't the right job for them, and they wanted out sooner than they actually left. For whatever reason. So, yeah, it's the double standard. It's the different standards. It's the different bars. Yeah. And it's like, this is blatant.
It is. It's absolutely blatant. It's like you've said, it's 100% blatant. Let me read you something. Okay. I'm going to read something that, and I want you to listen to this and see what Dave Meltzer has to say about the backstage environment and what it's like being a member of the AEW roster. To say behind the scenes is tumultuous would be an everyday thing, but the situation has become far more extreme than usual. It is impossible to have 100 wrestlers under contract and keep them all happy under any circumstances. It's even harder here because the most talented wrestlers are used in the middle and the top slots are locked up by people who have the name, power, and connections, and there's little upward mobility unless one of the stars brings you up to their level. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Makes sure absolutely does. 100%. This is Dave Meltzer in the 90s talking about WCW. That's where that quote comes from. It has nothing to do with All Elite Wrestling. But it sounds like the exact same thing.
Right.
It all starts at the top. In everything. It's one of the reasons why I love my current job more than pretty much any other job I've ever held. Except for one. Is because my boss is fantastic. And I get to work from home. And the only job I ever liked more than this was because my boss was fantastic and I was mobile all day. Drove around all day on the company's dime in a company vehicle with a company gas card, inspecting things, started at my house, ended at my house. I had that freedom. I can walk downstairs and I can wash the dishes if I want to. Go back upstairs, and I was gone for like 10 minutes. The same as, you know, middle of the day, got to use the bathroom in the office. I don't have to commute. I don't have to deal with any of that. I got my own refrigerator. I don't need to worry about anybody stealing my lunch in the break room. I got my own bathroom. If it's not clean, it's my own fault. All that stuff. But it all starts at the top. It's the same thing with AEW. Everybody wants to give Tony Khan a pass when he's the root of most of the problems. And if he's not the root of the problems, he's the one enabling the root of the problems. And that's a problem. And that's a huge problem. And that is where I just, you know, I don't know why everybody loves running to his defense. But I do know why. But I think it's just stupid. There is an eye in stupid. I don't like Pat. Like, help explain it to me so you can explain it to everybody else. Why is everyone so in love with Tony Khan and tries their best to rationalize everything this idiot does?
Well, when you say everyone, I'm going to
a large majority
the audience,
a large majority like, of their, you're right, their audience and most of wrestling Twitter.
Well, it's how do I say this nicely? Actually, no, I'm not going to say this. It's a pig-headed refusal. It's a pig-headed refusal to look at what is staring you in the face and speaking to you, because you don't want to buy that the thing you you fell in love with, the idea of the thing you fell in love with, isn't the thing you fell in love with. And so you tell yourself that this is okay because it helps you convince yourself that the thing that's not so great is great. And it allows you to be like, I can't believe you, like, you want to make AEW great. So the head of the table has got to be great, so to speak, or, you know, the head of the snake, if you will, Tony Khan has to be brilliant, and you have to support what Tony Khan is saying. If you're going to then try to convince everybody that AEW is the greatest wrestling company since sliced bread and is doing it all right, it's pretty good. One of the hardest things I listen to daily and is a great example of this, of somebody who tells themselves that it's great, is Jim Ross. Is listen to Jim Ross, and he's a company guy, and I love Jim Ross, and he's just doing his job. You know, when he's on his own podcast talking about WWE programming or WCW programming, but then always brings it back to, this is what's so great about Tony Khan and how he runs this business and this show. And it's like he's in this separate universe. And again, I get that Tony Khan has done right by you, but you can call something out. In fact, you used to hang your hat on being the one who, you know, figuratively speaking, used to be the one who would hang your hat on pointing out the warts of what the company wasn't doing right. Like, you were all too ready to do it with the WWE. You were all too ready to do it in the Jim Herd days at WCW. Hell, you even to some level would rip on your boy Bill Watts. But, you know, I get it. You're old and an announcer and you're just happy to be there. But man, you would think if you listen to Jim Ross that Tony Khan's just setting the world on fire. Everything's perfect. Everything's wonderful. Everything's great, and he's a genius. And it's like he talks about product knowledge all the time, and you're not acknowledging you don't have product knowledge if you can't point out what's bad about it, when it's what's awful about it, what's stupid about it. You know, if you can't point out that your boss is telling people that they can voluntarily come to work in the middle of a hurricane passing through Florida, per the email that he sent, like that he had to tweet about it. He had to tweet about an email that he sent to all his staffers. Like, and you think that's good and okay? Like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what universe you're living in. Because if my boss did that to me as an employee, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Why are you tweeting this?
Yeah. Why are you tweeting this out on social media? And people are defending it. He's defending it. Well, I said I put it in an email. Yeah, now you're...
But anyway, why tweet it? That's apparently, there's some gold. There's some Tony Khan gold on Instagram that I didn't know about as well.
I didn't know that either.
Because
no,
apparently,
I don't go on the gram much.
People were complaining that, you know, Juice Robinson is getting a match against Jon Moxley on Dynamite. And he's like, well, and on Instagram, I guess he said, well, as I put in the copy, Juice beat him in New Japan and John wants an opportunity. And then why is Bandido getting the shot at Chris Jericho? Well, as I put in the copy, he's a former Ring of Honor World Champion who never got his rematch, blah, blah, blah. And if you've got to explain this, then it's not a good story. But that's been pointed out as well. I want to go back to what you're talking about with Jim Ross, because here's what I would love to see happen. And I don't know if it ever will, because it doesn't fit the current mold of what WWE is. I'd love to see him go back to WWE. Not because I want to hear him as an announcer, because on a good day, he's bad. On a bad day, he's awful. at this point in his life. He has called some of the most memorable moments of our wrestling fandom, but modern day Jim Ross is just not very good. If he went back to WWE right now, he would be singing the praises. He'd be calling him Paul over and over again, but he'd be singing the praises of Triple H. Nonstop is what he would be doing. And people would be pointing out how hypocritical he is or whatever, but they won't do it now because he's supporting Tony Khan. It's like you said before, they want it to be good, so they're going to defend it. It all goes back to what people want. It's wrestling news. Right. If you want it to be true, you'll believe it. It's like watching wrestling. If you want the show to be good, it'll be good. If you want the show to suck, it will suck. That's just what it is.
It's funny you mention that because last week's Dynamite, because of what it could be, I was like, okay, I'm going to tune in. I turn on the opening match, watch the opening match. Good match. Finish happened. And I went, nope. And I turned it off. And you can say, you can call me out and say it's because it's not what I wanted. You're right. I also, in my head, went, boy, those fans better fucking rip on Tony and AEW for wronging Claudio Castagnoli the way they used to rip on the WWE and Vince McMahon for the way they always wronged Cesaro.
And what'd they do instead? They rationalized it.
They rationalized how great. They started talking about ROH must be getting a TV show on TBS, or so, which I don't know. But that's what we're telling ourselves.
That's what we're hoping. People think that Chris Jericho is the key to ROH getting a TV show because Chris Jericho was the key to AEW getting a TV show. We only believe Chris Jericho was the key to AEW getting a TV show because Cody Rhodes said so and the internet believed it.
Right.
Really, it had more to do with the fact that Tony Khan has a lot of money and knows people. And more than anything else, like through, you know, different connections. Remember, the NFL used to be on TNT. Like, it's not, you know, that long ago that these things happened. I enjoyed that match too. And there's no reason for Chris Jericho to win that title. I don't believe Chris Jericho winning the Ring of Honor, we're totally steering off path, but I don't believe Chris Jericho winning the Ring of Honor World Championship had anything to do with the TV deal more than it did to letting Jericho win another world title. Because now he's held the WWE, the AEW, and the Ring of Honor. And no one else can make that claim. And the only other person, there's only a few people on their roster that could pull that off. John Moxley. John Moxley could do it. Yeah, Big Show could technically do it. Paul White, but he'd need to win two more titles to get there. He's in the company to do it. You could pull it off with Daniel Bryan Danielson. Actually, they could have done it Wednesday night with Daniel Bryan Danielson, but didn't. And that would have been a better story to tell. But it also gave Chris Jericho the opportunity to call the belt the Ocho and make another t-shirt. And look, more power. Chris Jericho is still one of the best things about AEW, in my opinion. I enjoy Jericho when it's not overboard and 4 million people in his faction and everything else. But there's elements that I enjoy. That Dynamite Grand Slam was just a night of poor decisions, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I even took the time to read the results afterward because I was like, okay, maybe I'm off base here. And regardless of who you think should have won the Moxley Danielson match, which we said last week on our show, we felt almost certain.
I said that it was a certainty that Bryan Danielson was going to be
it was going to be Bryan Danielson, and it wasn't, and we were wrong. And for whatever booking decision happens forward, like that's their plan. And that's
right. The whole plan is to get to MJF as champion, which if you're going to do that, then put the belt on Sammy Guevara or Darby Allin. And I'm only saying one of those two because they were in the little tournament they did.
Right.
Give them the rub of being champion and then have them lose, you know, put Ricky Starks in there. Or Powerhouse Hobbs, like someone who could benefit from winning and really not lose that much from losing to MJF in the long run. Instead, you throw it on Moxley again, just to have him lose to MJF, like, and or don't make MJF win it so soon. Like, there's so many things you could do, but Tony Khan has no idea how to produce quality.
Instead, John Moxley can't take a vacation. That's
right. Had to cancel it, and which is why I thought he was going to lose. The other thing I will say, because I want to get back into the topics that we're talking about.
Sure.
The Acclaimed win the tag team titles in the very next match. I love the Acclaimed. I do.
Yep.
I absolutely love the Acclaimed. Have since they were working on Dark. When I was bored, when COVID hit and I was sitting in my house working, I would pull up videos of the Acclaimed making their entrance and when I was supposed to be working. Like, because there was not as much to do because COVID was impacting our business. Like that, you know, that was a fun thing for me to do. Love the Acclaimed. Wrestling fans, we just had WrestleMania 38 earlier this year. It's been over 8 years. Wrestling fans still cling to this belief that the fans changed the booking of the WrestleMania 30 main event. They didn't, but it's a different argument for a different time. The fans went so crazy for the Acclaimed at All Out in Chicago that this caused them to get a rematch with no reason whatsoever in New York City, in Queens, to go ahead and win the titles from Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee, who were barely really getting going in their title run anyway. And it was just purely because the fans, because Tony Khan was like, oh, the fans really want it, so we must do this. Again, AEW gives the fans what they want. WWE gives the fans what they need. Been saying it when Vince was in charge, it's even more prevalent now with Triple H being in charge. And that's that. It, Pac winning by cheating was stupid because he couldn't beat Pockets, as everybody likes to call Orange Cassidy, without hitting him with a bell hammer. Like, there's so many bad things that took place on that night.
Right. And it all, and it's funny because a lot of that stuff that you just said there got overshadowed by the arrival of Saraya and people making that some sort of huge, like, and that's the other thing is I don't know how many times I can see a tweet or a statement of how the next woman that's added to the women's division in some way, shape or form will make it the strongest women's division in all of women's wrestling. And here's the thing, Greg, and I think you would agree with me on this. It's not because there's a shortage of talent.
No.
Like, at all.
It's a ton of great talent.
It actually even goes back to your Meltzer tweet about WCW. You have too much talent. And it just goes away. Like, they show up, they talk. We don't even know. And the funny thing, the biggest news that's come out of this is speculation on whether or not this woman can wrestle or not.
Right.
And that's like, that's not what you should have been going for if you're going to have her debut anyway. But I mean, it's bizarre to me that everything that this company does because of this desperate need to tell me that this product is good and a legitimate competitor to the WWE, that every decision is brilliant, is going to change things for the better, is going to make it amazeballs, and that now they have this division stronger than any division in all of pro wrestling. Now, this champion is the best champion in all of pro wrestling, which you're wrong. It's Roman Reigns easily. Like, it's not even close.
No.
It's the best world heavyweight champion across any wrestling company on the planet.
Absolutely. Period. And Mars.
There's no
acknowledge
conversation.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah, it's just no... Like, he's... And he shouldn't lose the title until 2024. Like, it's just that good. He can lose the Raw title, but he shouldn't be pinned for it. But he needs to hold that Universal title until he breaks Hogan's record. He ain't breaking Bruno. I'm not going that far. But he can be number two all time. You can tell the stories. You have the talent. You have the roster. It's totally good. But I agree with you. It's never going to – injecting new talent doesn't do anything. If you don't know what to do with them, it's just nothing. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I've already talked about the t-shirts. I'm not going to talk about them again. And then we'll come back and talk about some ratings, do a list, have a lot of fun. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
We are back. It's actually a longer break on our end than it was on your end there, listener. So unless the commercials were really, really long, we don't hear them when they happen. So I don't know. So we've talked a lot about the contractual situation. We're obviously not going into the T word. We're not talking about tampering. But there was something else that Patrick O'Dowd sent me that was said by our good friend Dave Meltzer. This is the one that Patrick O'Dowd had to text to me because it was a screenshot because, you know, I'm blocked by the Meltzer. Why don't you share with the people what you shared with me, said by our good friend Dave Meltzer?
So earlier in the day on the 27th at around 7:21 p.m., Dave Meltzer simply tweets, Raw did 1.67 million / 0.45, so Bray Wyatt gimmick didn't carry over for a second big number.
Okay. There's a lot of assumptions in that statement.
Yes.
A lot of assumptions in that statement. First assumption being the fact that we really think the only reason 2.5 million people tuned into SmackDown, its highest number in 2 years, is because of a Bray Wyatt tease that was never mentioned on television, that the WWE didn't promote on their website or their social media. At least I don't think. I know they've released a t-shirt, so maybe they did. The IWC is not that big. Wrestling Twitter is not big enough to cause 2.5 million people to watch a program. Wrestling Twitter can shift the viewership for AEW, but it's not going to shift the viewership for WWE. So he's assuming that that's why. Not one of the greatest stories in all of professional wrestling today, Sami Zayn and the Bloodline, which is such good shit. I mean,
it's so
well done. Like I knew that. Like, even watching it, because I watched it on delay, I knew that they didn't beat the crap out of Sammy because I would have seen it on social media. I was still glued to my computer or whatever I was watching it on to see what was happening in that segment with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. Like, it's just done to down to Roman, you know, nodding yes and then finally hugging Sammy with one arm during the hug, which popped the hell out of the crowd. I mean, it's so good. And it's but no, the only thing that we think that could have attributed to it was the tease for Bray Wyatt. And that didn't carry over to Raw.
Right. What's really interesting and what I love about Dave is that, and you don't get to see any of this because, again, you're blocked with Dave. I'm on Dave's feed. And Dave, if you're listening, which you're not, and that's fine, feel free to block me too so that we can't make fun of you anymore, at least through our normal channels. We'll just get one of our other people to show us your dumb tweets. People replied to the number like they do, and he starts defending this in some amazing ways. So one person is like, you know, Monday Night Football being Giants, Cowboys probably hurt them as well. No, don't get me wrong. I know football is – right. I know football is always a draw, but the biggest market in New York versus the biggest national team in Dallas is probably more a relative draw than Titans, Bills, or Vikings, Eagles last week, to which Dave replied, well, football always hurts wrestling ratings. Another person, and this argument was dumb, so whatever, because they were like, maybe SmackDown is up because Raw is down. People choosing NFL over Raw get their WWE fix on Fridays now. Meltzer was like, SmackDown did normal numbers the previous 2 weeks. And then the other one, where was it?
SmackDown was up almost 20%.
Well, again, he's an idiot.
I know.
But then somebody, finally somebody is like, Meltzer out here doing what Meltzer does best, just riding TK as usual, doesn't even consider the fact that Raw went head-to-head with the NFL, which he didn't. But he argues back his reply, not only did I mention it, but I gave you the audience and where it placed for the season. Nice try. Is what? Where are the NFL ratings?
I'm sure he did, maybe like on his show or something like that. I don't know. Here's the thing, again.
But he said it. When he tweeted an hour earlier that the ratings were going to be an hour late, he hadn't had time to do a radio show between the when the radio ratings dropped. Like, he is responding in the moment. He says that viewers for football were down. He replies to somebody else and says that viewers were down, but still over 19 million. To somebody else who says, doesn't the game draw or hurt? It's all football over. It's full of shit.
And not only that, but if you're talking about football's numbers, okay, God, there's so many stupid things in this. Like, it's just, okay, I'm pulling up the actual data for football right now. On cable, Monday Night Football drew 7.7 million people. On network television, it drew another 10 million people. So there you go. You basically got, when you add it all together, you're looking at a total of 17.8 million is what watched Monday Night Football between network television and cable television. When you remove all things football, WWE isn't 6th, 7th, and 9th. It is 1, 2, and 3. And it still drew 1.7, 1.7, and 1.5 million people, the 1.5 million people being in the 10 o'clock hour of the show. It's what happens every week with WWE and Monday Night Football. It's what happened forever since this has been a thing. Like it's not like, you know, Vince Russo tried to convince people that, you know, they used to beat Monday Night Football. It's just dumb. But it's again, you can use the ratings to spin it any way you want to. You can use the ratings to be a positive for WWE, a negative for AEW, and vice versa. Again, year over year ratings for Dynamite Grand Slam were down. Year over year, number of tickets sold for Dynamite Grand Slam, down big time. This is the argument I was going to make earlier. I have been saying all along that AEW's business model is essentially fleecing their fans. And people told me that you don't fleece people unless you're charging them an exorbitant price for a product or whatever. Well, Dynamite Grand Slam broke an AEW gate record by selling like 60% of the tickets it sold last year. How can you do that without astronomically raising the ticket prices over last year? Probably by 75%. You're ripping your fans off. You're just charging the same people more money is what you're doing.
Right.
And that's not a model for long-term success, because obviously, less people were willing to travel on a Wednesday night. Remind you, it was more difficult to go to a sporting event last year in New York City than it is this year. There were vaccination requirements to attend sporting events in New York City last year that were in the process of being removed at that time. And now it's so much easier to attend a sporting event in New York City. And less people were willing to do that. Now, it was the first one, so people traveled for it. They're not going to... Again, they didn't make that decision to do it this year. And back then we had Daniel Bryan Danielson's first match and all this. We've literally been trying to live on surprises for a year in AEW. Like, there's so many, we could talk for hours about this, but it was down year over year, whereas Raw has been improving. Like, there's just a lot of, again, we can use the ratings, we can use the ticket sales, we can use whatever to tell any story we want to tell. The fact of the matter is, it's all stupid. Tony Khan is stupid. And obviously he's smart. Okay. He's, you know, has roles in different sports teams. Yes, he got them because of who his dad is, but at the same time, like, he's doing it and he's got a wrestling show on television. Like, that's, again, he deserves credit for that. Is he fumbling it? Yes, but he has a wrestling show on television. Many, many, many people would love to do that and don't. So he deserves 100% full credit for that. And I think he you know, gets it way more than he ever should, but he does get credit for what he does. This is driving me absolutely insane. So we are going to shift gears so we can have some fun, because this is one of the most fun times of the week when we get together and just randomly make a list.
Shut your dumb mouth.
You just made the list.
So, Patrick O'Dowd, it is your turn to decide what we are making a list of, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I thought of this randomly in the middle of the afternoon and texted you and said, the list, wrestling farewells, could be a retirement, and I put in parentheses, permanent or not permanent, because we know how that works in professional wrestling. Farewell from a company, etc. To which you replied literally like a minute and a half after I sent you the topic, I'm already at 8, LOL. So I know you're solid on your list. I stopped after I think 8 as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So we both got 8. We'll definitely hit our 6 today. I'm excited. I'm excited for it. Happy to be here. Happy to be a part.
I'm trying to find it. I think I did take, it took me longer than a minute and a half, but yeah, I did. So we're going to make the list.
It did not take you long.
It did not take me long at all. It didn't. And I'm really like, and there's one that I stopped at 8 and I moved on to other things, but there's a 9th on my list mentally now. And there's so many honorable mentions at this point. So,
I have one that I'm going to put on the list. That's definitely going to surprise you because it's me saying it.
Gotcha. Okay. So I get to go first.
You do.
My number one item for the list, and I am not allowing the things that happened after this to tarnish it. I am taking it purely for the event itself. My number one wrestling farewell is Ric Flair's retirement at WrestleMania 24.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I love you.
Everything that's associated with it. I hate the Hall of Fame. It's just too long for me.
Yeah.
All that stuff. It's still one of my favorite Hall of Fame speeches. He's in the Hall of Fame speech talking about being retired the night before he wrestles his retirement match and acknowledges it and basically says, everyone knows what's going on here. Like, it just openly says, this is predetermined that I'm losing tomorrow. Like, he just, the whole thing was so great. And yeah, it's tarnished since then and whatever, it's wrestling, but Ric Flair's WrestleMania 24 retirement for me is the first thing I'm putting on the list.
It's how you want to remember the guy, right?
And like, I will.
Honestly, like that's the thing is I actually just rewatched his ESPN 30 for 30, which is now on Disney Plus. Like they've started to release those on Disney Plus. And I don't have the big bundle, so I haven't been able to watch them all. It is like, I'm sorry, I love you is still like, it's some of the best, it's arguably the best storytelling in the ring in the last decade and a half. So good choice. All right. So my first choice is actually going to be a promo. It is going to be from the Nitro era. It is the Arn Anderson My Spot promo, where he officially said he was done in the ring as a performer, and they wrote a storyline where he hands over his spot in the Four Horsemen to what at the time made a hell of a lot of sense as a
Absolutely
guy to fill
did.
That role in one Curt Hennig, and then even Eric Bischoff today will say it was a mistake to go in the direction that they went with by putting Kurt in the NWO later. And a lot of people remember the dog spot, liver spot mockery promo the following week. But that my spot, Arn Anderson was like the Rock of, and not the Rock, like the character of the Rock, but like he was a foundational piece of WCW. Like, you know, he worked 1 year in the WWE with Tully, but, you know, from Crockett to Turner, right up until he just literally couldn't go anymore. He was it. And it's a real, like, go back and watch that. It's surprising. It's way more emotional now to me watching it than it was when I watched it in the moment.
Because it was
real. Have the same level of respect for Arn. Yeah. Like,
it was so absolutely
that's
real.
my first choice for a farewell.
So my next farewell, and like I said, there's so many on this list, and I mean, again, it's not a top six. It's just a list. So I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. My next one is Mark Henry's false farewell on Monday Night Raw when he used it to attack John Cena, eventually becoming a world champion because he got a lot left in the tank. It was perfectly done. It had everybody fooled, except for why he would come out during a John Cena promo to retire. But it still worked. We all bought it. He was wearing the pink jacket. And it was one that still gets quoted today, still gets memed today, and is basically a part of not just wrestling history, but wrestling lore. And so for me, Mark Henry's false farewell is on the list.
Very nice. As you said, this is our list. And it's time for me to surprise Greg DeMarco with my next pick.
Okay.
CM Punk's final match at Ring of Honor.
Wow. Wait, the first one or the second one?
The first one.
Okay.
The one where you thought he was really gone forever. At least, I hope I'm getting this right.
You are.
First one was when he wrestled, this is where he worked Cabana, right?
No, that was his real retirement. The first one was when he worked, when he won the title.
Oh, no, no.
From Austin.
Not that you all buy it. No, I'm talking about the one he worked with Cabana. Like his real.
His actual last night in Ring of Honor, not his fake last night.
His real last, not your favorite CM Punk stuff.
Right.
So, kids, there was a time where I actually didn't hate Phil Brooks. In a 2004 far away-ish sort of time. And there's a lot of guys have come and gone out of Ring of Honor in its heyday, and and everybody knows that, like, Brian, like, I watched the Brian Danielson farewell tour when he worked, like, the five different matches. I watched him wrestle David Richards in Boston. Loved that. But the goodbye that Ring of Honor gave CM Punk on his final match when he wrestled Colt Cabana with, like, and the streamers were always a thing, but the visual of him walking into the ring, him working with, at the time, his best friend, my, how things have changed.
I know, right?
It was really well done. It was a very good moment. It was a very good, it was a good match. It was an emotional match, and I thought it was for the guy, and at the time, was a perfect farewell. And I think that farewell actually still kind of holds up. And just in terms of what it did and what it meant to do. And it was like, he was heading to the WWE and people were sad to see him go, but happy for him at the yep. same time. And that's what we always thought was the magic. And that's still the magic to me about watching independent wrestling, is being able to remember them from when.
And being able, he was to the great say, hope.
Like, I saw them there. Yes, he was. Absolutely.
And then he made it.
He did.
And that night when he won the world title, when he cashed in Money in the Bank, like, even Gabe Sapolsky was, like, freaking out on social media. Like, it was a thing. So, yeah. Yeah, the night that he fooled everyone, I love. So much that MJF not only ripped it off, but now turned into a t-shirt that he's going to make money off of. And I'm sure that'll piss CM Punk off even more. But good. I don't care. Great choice. Absolutely great choice. So, there's a good chance that a lot of really good farewells are going to be left off this list. And that's fine. This is not meant to be a top six. It's just meant to be our six. Because I am taking the personal leeway of putting something on the list purely because I want to. Because in 2018, the current greatest wrestler in the history of our sport,
acknowledge me,
entered a professional wrestling ring. I might actually get emotional talking about this. And informed the world that he had to go away because his leukemia came back. And returned in 2019. And ended up wrestling Drew McIntyre at that WrestleMania as a big baby face because he had returned from leukemia. And I didn't actually have this one on my list, the list of eight that I have in front of me right now. But then later in the day, I was like, wait a minute, like, there's this. It was a farewell. It was a temporary farewell. And for me, the day that I was diagnosed with leukemia, I took on my phone Googled Roman Reigns leukemia to see which kind of leukemia he has. And he has chronic myeloid leukemia, which means he still has it, which is the same exact one I do. So I am taking one that may not actually be in the top six of all time, but for me, I can't not put it on the list because it's our list. And this is my portion of the list. And so therefore, I get to put whatever I want on it. So Shawn Michaels be damned. I'm putting Roman Reigns on the list for personal reasons. And I'm allowed to do that.
That's fine that you can say Shawn Michaels be damned, because I'm gonna clean that up on the backswing for you, because we can't not put the final match of, well, the quote unquote what I will call the final match of Shawn Michaels' career, because we were there.
We were there.
We watched that match for WrestleMania 26. We were there to watch the not as good as the WrestleMania 25 match between him and The Undertaker, but still a really good match.
The sequels aren't usually as good anyway, so it's okay.
But that moment when he's on his knees and he pulls the thumb across his throat and says, finish me and do it right, is a great moment. And you talk about kind of the whole encompassing. It was, you know, we went to Raw the next night. We went to the Raw after WrestleMania the next night where he, you know, gave his like goodbye speech, and The Undertaker came out and, you know, tipped his cap. But I'll never forget, and you quoted him as well, in that speech when he says, you know, will I miss it? And he says, nope. Will I miss you? He says, yep. And that's it. And he says goodbye. And you know, he didn't have like the whole locker room come out and like surround him or anything like that. Like a couple of X glow sticks on the stage as he walked out. Like that was,
and then Triple H came out off air.
Yeah. Right.
Cause he was a big heel at the time. So,
right. So yeah, I could not put Shawn Michaels.
That was what I had to remove.
We were there.
Now I could have put Shawn Michaels at number three, but I really wanted to include the Mark Henry one. And I had not decided if I was going to put Roman on over Shawn Michaels. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you were going to say something.
I'll say before we go and put these in order, I kind of want to run down some of the ones we left off. But
sure,
let's do commercial number two really quick, and then we'll do that. Here we go.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Okay, what were you going to say before I did that?
I was going to jump into honorable mentions. So
okay,
I think we were on the same page.
So let's do the honorable mentions. I'll just go down mine. You can go down yours. I had Triple H at WrestleMania 38, even though it was so simple, and he just put his boots down and did his thing. I had the Jushin Liger retirement tour. I had JBL at WrestleMania 25. Who loses to Rey Mysterio in 20 seconds and then just says, I quit, and actually never comes back and wrestles again. Like, that's the amazing thing about it.
Yeah, he really did.
He's actually really did. Trish Stratus, who won the Women's Championship for Mickie James in Toronto.
Unforgiven 26. Oh, sorry. Yep. I had Trish and Lita.
Maybe it was Lita who she won it from, not Mickie James.
Trish and Lita in Unforgiven 2006. She wins the title. Lita was the champ.
That's
very
correct,
very rare win on the way out.
And then I had two for The Undertaker on my list. I had the Boneyard match, which I thought, despite the fact that it had to be cinematic and that was WrestleMania 36 and all of that, that was one thing. And then I also had, and again, this is our list and we can swing things however we need to. I guess it's not really The Undertaker. I had The Streak on my list. The WrestleMania 30, the night that Brock Lesnar ended the streak, to me, that was a farewell to the streak and the end of that. So that's what I had as my honorable mentions. What did you have? Well,
I had Lita's final match with Mickie James. And actually, you caused Lita and Trish from Unforgiven in 2006 to get bumped by not taking Shawn Michaels. That's how that fell off of my list. I also had Stone Cold versus The Rock, WrestleMania 19, because that is the end of Stone Cold Steve Austin in the ring, even though he would be around in various personality promos and stuff like that from there on out. And then I had Batista versus Triple H in WrestleMania 13, where Trips rips out Batista's Nova's ring. And, you know, Batista had a lot of memorable quit. He had a sit on the ring and yell, "I quit" moment. That's also quite memorable. But
I thought about that.
That he got to come back and work, you know, a match again with one of his best friends in the business and actually make it like a kind of an intense little feud. And got to go out against Triple H at WrestleMania 35.
He ruined Ric Flair Appreciation Night. Ric Flair didn't appear at Ric Flair Appreciation Night because Dave Batista went in the locker room, beat the crap out of him, and then was screaming, "Give me what I want," which is another gift that will live on forever. So, yeah, I think that's a good one too. So I really do enjoy the that one. All right, so now we'll go back to the list.
Hold on, Greg. One more, because they're going to yell at us if we don't.
Okay.
Randy Savage versus the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that is true. That is one that people remember.
That poor soul crying in the audience who became a gift that never dies as well when Savage and Elizabeth got back together. totally.
It's a long time ago. Man. That was 31 years ago.
Right.
Insane. That was that long ago.
They did not get back together.
No.
Shut your dumb mouth.
You just made the list.
So now we are going to take our six and we're going to put them in order. We have Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. We have Arn Anderson's My Spot promo. We have Mark Henry's False Farewell. We have CM Punk's last match in Ring of Honor. We have Roman Reigns leaving for leukemia. We have Shawn Michaels' last match at WrestleMania 26. So as we do with the list, Patrick Goddard will go first. I will go second. We will alternate putting these things in order 1 through 6 to finalize this week's version of
You Just Made the List.
So go for it.
I got to take your number, your first choice and make it the number one, because that is still a match to this day. I'm Sorry I Love You still gets me emotional watching it. You know, Ric Flair is crying in the middle of the ring before he loses. When he's standing there with his fist up.
He's crying when he comes out. He's done.
Yeah, he is so emotional, and you know, and Shawn was perfect. And was the absolute right guy.
It's so good that all the crap that's happened in the 14 years since hasn't tarnished it. That's how good it is.
Right. You're absolutely right. And that match is, you know, not good. Like Rick can't do a bridge. He's Shawn Michaels literally kills himself.
Doing
high spots, and Rick's not in the right spot, and he face plants on a moonsault.
Same Shawn Michaels who would retire 2 years later after having to retire once before. So yeah, that does make total sense. Speaking of Shawn Michaels, I am going to make Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 26 number 2 on the list. So you get number 3.
I do. My number 3 is going to, again, be a surprise. I'm going to take one of my own. I'm going to do CM Punk's final match in Ring of Honor.
All right. Giving Phil some love tonight.
I am giving Phil some love.
On the show, which does not happen. Then, I shouldn't, but I am.
Do it.
I am going to make Mark Henry's I Got a Lot Left in the Tank. I'm going to pick it over Arn Anderson's, and I'm going to make that number 4.
And over Roman Reigns?
I assume that was going to be number 6.
Oh, okay. Because it is. It's going to be number 6. Arn Anderson's My Spot promo will be number 5, yeah.
So Arn Anderson's My Spot promo will be number 5. That means number 6 will be Roman Reigns leaving WWE to continue his fight with leukemia.
You just made the list!
Number 1 is Ric Flair's retirement match at WrestleMania 24. Number 2, Shawn Michaels' retirement match at WrestleMania 26. Number 3, CM Punk's truly final night in Ring of Honor, although he came back for one random one-off, but whatever, that didn't count. Number 4,
Mark Henry's false farewell, beating up John Cena, got all left in the tank. Number 5, Arn Anderson's My Spot promo on Nitro. And number 6, Roman Reigns informing everybody he has to leave due to his fight with leukemia.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So we haven't discussed the three-minute warning, and the three-minute warning, I'm going to go completely off the board with a story that is kind of funny for me. There's backstory behind it. If people saw my post on Facebook from Friday, Thursday night, I woke up in the middle of the night and heard some noises, went to go check them out, fell asleep on the couch listening to my air conditioner die. And so the AC went out, and it was out Friday. Saturday, they finally came out and looked at it, needed a part. That part wouldn't, because as most people know, the first day of fall was this week. And when fall hits, the distribution companies for AC parts are no longer open on the weekends. So literally had this happen a week before, they could have gotten the part same day and fixed it. So we had to wait until today actually to get it fixed. So there was more than one night in the hotel room. There was this and that. So the wife and I were eating dinner after an IZW event on Saturday, our second one in Coolidge, Arizona, which is one of our small town events. And we were eating and we're like, what are we going to do on Sunday? And so I was like, let's go see a movie. Movie theater is always freezing cold, right? We have no AC. It's 100 degrees. It's great. So I pull up the thing and I look, and lo and behold, Avatar is out. The original Avatar, the 3-hour long Avatar is out. And what better way to get out of the heat than sit for a 3-hour long movie at the movie theater and watch Avatar? Plus you've got previews. Plus we went out to eat beforehand. And then of course they checked in the hotel that night. All that stuff. So we sit down to watch this 3-hour long Avatar. Now, I saw Avatar 13 years ago when it came out in 2009, and I could not stand that movie. I thought it sucked. Everybody made a big deal out of it. It was supposed to be this great thing. Visually, it was impressive. Nowadays, it's just like every other movie in terms of being impressive. I hated the movie Avatar. So we go, we watch this movie Avatar. Now, I don't know the exact date that I saw it the first time. And I don't know if that was a bad day, if I was in a bad mood, if I was tired and 3 hours too long to watch a movie. I have no idea. I absolutely loved Avatar on the second viewing 13 years later. I actually got into the story. Now, I'm a different person 13 years later. We all are. But I actually very much enjoyed the story of the first Avatar movie and everything that they did. And I think I hated the movie so much, I forgot anything about the humans. Because we're watching the movie and I'm like, this is all this human stuff I forgot about. And I actually thoroughly enjoyed Avatar upon the second viewing 13 years later. And now I'm, you know, somewhat excited for December when the second one finally comes out. Thoughts?
Play my music, please.
Oh, that is so perfect. That is beautiful.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to...
Okay.
To the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few...
I came to...
Okay.
Get my dues paid. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
I came to...
Okay. Okay.
So let me ask you a different letter. Why?
It's Dances with Wolves with aliens. It's a white savior movie just dressed up in this Avatar gimmick. Like, I think the story in its total is dumb. It is still visually stunning. And the ride at Disney is pretty nifty. I checked that out at Walt Disney World. That's kind of fun. But the movie, the first time I saw the movie, I actually couldn't finish it because the 3D technology is so much of a strain on my eyes. And with my glasses, it actually hurt me to watch. So I had to did a rewatch, like after it was out of the theaters and available on the Blu-ray in its infancy. And Yeah, I found it boring when I first watched it.
Me too.
And, you know, and all the way through. And then the plots and the subtext are just, it's a very typical, like I said, it's a white savior sort of story. So there's these native peoples that are faced with this horrible problem that can only be fixed by the dude who helped cause it. And it's like, it's a story that happens all the time. It happens in Dances with Wolves, is the other kind of big example. Like, nobody can save the Native Americans except for the white guy. And so nobody can save the big, tall, monkey blue people except for the white guy, even though they, like, it just, it's a racist tale as old as time. And I don't like it. I'm sorry. I'm happy you enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoy The Shape of Water or The Way of Water.
The Way of Water, yes.
The fish people who swim and fight over unobtainium because humans are back and stuff. Like, go for it.
I will
not be in attendance.
It's funny, you know, the whole white savior concept is very interesting to me because I have long said that all the issues that members of the LGBTQ community are running into are solely the biggest influencer who can help fix that is the straight white dudes, because we're the problem. And when the problem can turn into the solution, that's when things can really change. And
well, there's a difference between accepting a people and,
yes,
like it's cultural appropriation, man. Like he becomes, like, literally, like, becomes one of them. It's very different.
That's true.
I hear what you're saying.
No, I get it.
Because it's about being an ally versus disempowering a people by trying to solve their problem. Well-intentioned white people.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Can sometimes also be the problem. So, but right. Again, that's my story. I enjoyed it 13 years after absolutely hating it. Going here thinking, I'm going to hate this, but I don't care because it's nice and cold and comfy and I'll probably fall asleep. And then I watch this movie. I'm like, God, I really like this. This is weird.
It's fine that you do. By the way, are you happy that I've embraced my music now? That I just say hit my music?
I mean, it makes sense. Like,
at this point,
it's been so long since it's probably been 3 years since we had that music. So
probably. I mean,
why the hell not? So
I haven't even dropped a K GIF on anybody in a long time. Like, I've been good.
Nah, we haven't even used the Rockin' Kevin Nash in a while. Like,
well, we haven't really had we haven't had like a real spat on the Twitter where the opportunity has arisen.
And we it's
true. It's what happens. We're not even kayfabing it though. Like, we need to make up an argument.
We can do sometime. I'm going out of town Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So maybe after I get back, we can
we'll figure it out.
So my kids are 14 and 16. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
I know. It's crazy. And it's a bye week for the football team this week, which impacts both of them. And we're trying to figure out, like, we wanted to go somewhere over fall break, but there's actually games over fall break. So we can't do that. So we decided we're going to go somewhere this week. So we're like, we'll go to California. So my wife and I are out to dinner one night and she's texting them and she's like, here's some options. What do you want to do? The 14 and 16-year-old, mainly 16-year-old, chose Legoland.
Huh.
Legoland is, it even says, like, when you're buying tickets at Legoland, it even says, this is intended for ages 2 to 12.
Right.
It actually, like, says
the little O'Dowd at the median age of 10, good to go. In fact, when we do our Walt Disney World trip, one of the places he has already said, it's not even Legoland. He just wants to go to the damn Lego store.
Oh, yeah.
Get some more Lego. Like, that's the goal. We're going to Disney Springs.
As you can imagine, there's a giant Lego store in Legoland. So.
Oh, I bet. He has brought up the one that they have opened in New York. I have had to explain to him that is not a drive I want to make. But we'll probably end up doing it at some point because my life
it's
sucks.
It's fun. So, I'm sure. So we're going to Legoland. That's going to be fun.
Nice.
So as I record this.
Have a good vacation.
As I record this, the family is right upstairs. They're eating dinner and they can hear me. My wife is saying that I'm being overly dramatic and did not absolutely hate Avatar 13 years ago.
Can you just let her know that I did absolutely hate Avatar 13 years ago?
I can let her know that Patrick O'Dowd just hated Avatar.
And actually, whatever, her opinion is null and void because she didn't know about the monster at the end of this book. So, whatever. How?
I don't.
And nobody knows.
Because we talked about this. Okay. She's saying no idea. Okay, good. We're now arguing over. I need to send her the Kevin Nash gift. And she can send me the rock gift if she knew what it was. So we talked about the monster at the end of this book. And she made a good point. When she was a kid, her mom was reading them novels. Like Stephen King books and stuff like that. And which is why she's claiming that I didn't like it, but I didn't absolutely hate it. So
we've moved on from that argument to problems about her. So if you want to clue her in on that part, then that grew up
to she read novels to our kids, and they would literally love laying in the hallway at the house we lived in. There was literally their two bedrooms were across the hallway from our bedroom. They would all lay there. They would all read Harry Potter. They couldn't watch the movie till they got through a book. Like it was all this big, huge thing that they did for years to get through all seven books, and eight movies. And that was grown by her, you know, the way that her mom read to her. My mother read me the monster at the end of this book and made voices with my stuffed animals, which I now do with my own children and make voices with their stuffed animals.
So obviously we're both influenced by our parents.
Yes. Well, again, but well, it given our children the best of both worlds. So I'm down with it.
I will say this. The little O'Dowd was on chapter books.
Yeah.
Relatively early as well. Like he's tore through the Percy Jackson.
Okay.
Rick Riordan, and like not just the Percy Jackson books. Like that dude has written like 15 books plus another 3, 8. Like it's ridiculous. Like we're on book like number 17 or 18 of this dude series. So I hear it. I also feel like maybe there was something a little missing from the Mrs. DeMarco's childhood that she didn't know what the monster at the end of this book was.
I found it on Amazon.
You can still buy it.
It's
yeah.
like $3. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. And don't turn the page. I'm telling you, there's a monster at the end of this book.
And then, oh my God, you turned the page. I still remember like my mom reading it to me. Like I don't have like a bajillion great memories and stuff like that, but like that one like sticks out.
As soon
as I saw that picture on Facebook, I was like, it's like Greg DeMarco.
Is your life. And I feel bad because I tried to send her there was a t-shirt making company that had a shirt that with Grover on it. And I don't think it went through to her. I think it just sent her like the website. So I don't know that it actually got through the way that I wanted.
She showed me
through.
That. And yeah, I think, yeah. Oh, well it happens, but yeah.
The image that I saw there, I didn't just arbitrarily send her that site. Like it had the monster at the end of this book as the shirt.
You had just recently interacted with her anyway about the whole banned books thing. So that makes sense, which she is a tremendously huge advocate of reading banned books. So I,
read banned books, kids.
That's what this is the person who was a former, you know, an English teacher for 7 years before she became an assistant principal for 7 years. So yeah, I get it. All right. So there you go.
I think we're done, man. I think that's the show.
3 minute warning was 12 minute warning, 13 minute warning at this point, but really
this
good
is a
stuff.
Marathon show, man.
This was an hour and 23 minutes and counting. That's not normal for us.
Yahtzee.
Whatsoever. The past few have been longer. Ever since we reduced the number of people, the length of the show has been longer. And the hashtag Miranda show has been longer. Things change. Stuff happens. Yeah. And the hashtag Miranda show has been longer. And again, the long-term plan is to go back to a three person booth. It just hasn't been possible time-wise. So, all right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. There is an I in Patrick, but there's not an I in Wrestling Realist, but it is WrestlingRealist. I'm at ChairShot, Greg ChairShot, MediaChairShot.com. Look, you know all of it. Just like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. Tell a friend. This show was a lot of fun. You know, all different things, right? We complained about wrestling news and how the media tries to push things. We had a blast making this list. And then we had a lot of fun talking about Avatar and books and everything and giving people an opening into the personal side of life. So since we're an opening into the personal side of life, happy birthday to the lovely and talented Mrs. O'Dowd tomorrow. Today, when people are listening, I'm sure you guys will have a great time eating fried foods at the big exposition. And
hell yeah, we will.
At the big E. You know, it's funny too, because when the wrestler Big E came out, like, that was the first thing I thought of. And
he's acknowledged that. Like, oh, yeah, he tweeted about it one year. It was great.
I think I remember that, and I'm sure, you know, Big E. I mean, I would love to see him at the Big E. Like, Big E at the Big E is something.
Big E at the Big E.
You just need
to make that happen.
Need in our lives.
Like, oh, yeah.
They definitely should. It's like how, so SmackDown this past weekend was in Salt Lake City, and I know someone who works there and goes, has to go to a lot of events, and he had to go to SmackDown. He did not know that the FanXCon was also in Salt Lake City. And he was like, my God, all these people, what's going on? And there was like hotel switching and everything. Said person also had a good laugh about certain things that get reported by the news sites that is just completely and totally wrong. That I can tell you off air, but it involves a certain product. So yeah, there we go.
Very nice.
Nice try though.
Anyway, we appreciate you guys listening. Enjoy the shows. Hashtag Miranda Show coming up later today. I think we're talking about NXT. I don't even know, but it'll be a lot of fun. So listen. And yeah, until next time, let's just end the way we began. No, we can't, because I don't have that soundbite anymore. Huh. Oh, well, I guess I'll have to find something else to play. And say, you know, I hate the fact that I got rid of all those sound bites.
You got no choice, babe. But to move on, you know, there ain't no time to wait.
Question.
Yeah, what's your name?
My name's Dave.
Okay, Dave, what's your question?
How confident are you heading into the qualifying match, as you've never beaten Von Wagner before?
Who the have you ever beat Dave? You think that was a five-star question? How many towns have you ever made? Have you even been in a ring? Every time I punch Von Wagner, I'm going to think of your stupid, smug face. Now that is a teachable moment! Yeah!
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.